WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Fran, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
For him.
Yowie wowie!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, for our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on Twitch on WildTalkRadio.com or on RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a Twitch Prime sub available, which is where your Amazon account and your Twitch account are linked, well, you get a free sub. If you have one available, click the purple button up at the top. See if you want to use it here, but if not, that's fine too. We're okay with that, but not really support the channel. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live from wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or directly at twitch.tv/WTLive, where you can earn WTR contender points and then catch them into championship reward points. And then you can, you know, dictate like the show, like Russell Talk Radio, or a segment on this show, or even Greater Than Great Debate. Hey, that's a shameless plug for stuff. So, hey, we're here. We're live. We're doing
You're things. Whoring yourself out in 2020 already? No.
No. And a minute into this show? Wow. Not even.
Same. I mean, it's a record, chat. It's a record.
And it's mainly for them, because they can earn stuff and do things and all that fun, happy stuff.
You know what? Matt's already cashed in his points.
He has, and Jarvis cashed in his points, so, you know, anything can happen. So just watch at twitch.tv/WTLive. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at Record Show, at Lynn's Ward. Little housekeeping off the top. Remember, the Royal Rumble entry contest is up and running right now. All you have to do is say in the chat right now, hey, I won in. We'll put your name on the list, and you'll be part of the Royal Rumble entry contest with the drawing this Sunday on WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio.
Should be fun, guys. Should be really, really fun this year. So if you want to enter, there are 30 slots available, and only 30 slots, so get your names in as soon as you possibly can. But we're doing something a little bit different tonight on the show. So what we're going to do, since this is a rare week that we actually get to have a discussion topic, we're going to have an actual discussion, and we are going to talk about the decade as a whole. We're doing the 2010s to 2020, a decade in review. I know it's not actually technically the decade, like the decade starts in 2021.
No, it doesn't. It starts now. It's already started.
Everybody keeps telling me it starts in 2020.
They're wrong.
What?
They're all wrong.
Ever.
They're all wrong.
Doesn't matter. We're talking about 2010 to 2020. 10 years talking about it tonight on this show, because a lot of stuff has happened in the last 10 years of wrestling. We've seen a lot of history, whether we've realized it or not, and we want to talk about it. We're also going to do all your favorites, news, tweet of the week, NXT, all of that stuff on the back half of the show, But we're going to go ahead and open with the discussion. We're going to talk about it because it's pretty lengthy. There's a lot to go into. And yeah,
it's lengthy. All right. It's lengthy.
It's 4 pages long.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of stuff.
He wrote a dissertation.
Brent would be proud then.
Brent would be proud of this. You may have to show this to Brent.
I may have to. So, and it's not even all of what I could have probably done too. So.
Oh my god.
Because you know things happen. It just anyway. So we're gonna look at the decade as a whole. And I know there's a lot as the decade came to an end. A lot of people were, I guess, down on WWE, the state in general. But looking back at what they did this past 10 years, this past decade.
It's night and day.
It has been insane. They've given you some of the greatest moments in wrestling. We've had big returns. We've had big surprises, great matches. I know week to week you can be down on a product, but as a whole, when you look at everything, goddamn, they have like sort of given you a little bit of everything. And to start it off, if you remember back, right, we started this decade off with 2 hour Raws. They were 2 hours. And then they went to 3 when they celebrated Raw 1000, which was, when you remember back at that show, that was a fantastic show.
It was fun. It was definitely fun. That, like, this was like the decade of the anniversary shows because we had like the 25th anniversary of SmackDown, I think, or the 25th anniversary of Raw. We had Raw 1000.
The 20th anniversary of SmackDown.
SmackDown 1000, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, this was the decade of anniversaries for WWE for sure. We had the 25th WrestleMania. We had the 30th WrestleMania.
No, we didn't have the 25th because that was in the previous decade. We had the 30th WrestleMania this
year. Okay,
fine.
We had the 30th WrestleMania.
We had the 30th WrestleMania this year, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Raw went from 2 to 3 hours. And then this was my favorite part of going through all this. SmackDown has evolved in this time period.
Dude, SmackDown had a glow up.
It went being from taped on Friday nights on my network television. Everyone remember what that channel?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Then it went to Sci-Fi. And then it went back to Fridays. Then moved to USA Network on Tuesdays. And now it's on Fox on Fridays.
So it's back where it all began. It's back on Fridays. But it's not on my network TV anymore. It's on Fox.
Yeah.
Live.
Live. It's now live. It went from SmackDown to SmackDown Live to now back to Friday night SmackDown live on Fox. Presented by Progressive.
I mean, that's a pretty good step up there.
It is.
That I gotta say, like I really gotta say, that's a good step up for SmackDown. So good job, SmackDown, on glowing up.
Then we had the start of this decade, ECW, or WWECW. That didn't last long. We then got NXT. Not the NXT we have now, but it was a reality competition series at the start of this decade.
I would like to point out NXT, the reality series, gave you some of your favorite superstars.
Like who?
I don't know. There was this husky guy, a little crazy. He got kicked in the head. He was never the same. And now he's on TV smacking his rabbit around.
Phrasing?
Yeah.
Phrasing?
By the way, I'm going to need Bray Wyatt to stop smacking that rabbit around on TV. I'm just going to need him to stop doing that because that's just not okay, guys. Like, he murdered the rabbit on TV, okay? Can we... I know he's done it before, but he's never sent the corpse to anybody. This is getting a little much. Can we not with the rabbit? Can we just let the rabbit be happy?
And he sent it to the guy who was also on the NXT reality show.
He did! Daniel Bryan!
Daniel Bryan. It gave us Heath Slater. It gave us Wade Barrett for a time. Skip Sheffield, a.k.a. Ryback. NXT.
Titus O'Neil.
AJ Lee. Caitlyn. It's given us a lot of talent. Naomi.
Got Naomi.
Was on the reality show. But then that NXT became a developmental television show when the network started. Bo Dallas was your champion.
Oh, an NXT. Oh my god, my heart hurts.
Bo Dallas was running around Full Sail from security like in 2014. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
F's in chat for the Full Sail chase for campus security. Chase Bo Dallas's idiot self all over Full Sail University.
That was one of the greatest NXT moments of all time, and it's underrated because no one talks about it, but it was fantastic. It was Bo in his prime.
I miss that Bo Dallas so much. I do. I really, really, really do. But yeah. Okay, let's talk about NXT. Mm-hmm. Because NXT had an evolution of itself. It went from being OVW to FCW / GCW to FCW alone to NXT itself. Like, the way that they have revamped their entire farm system in the last 10 years, we're going to use this phrase a lot, is night and day. Mm-hmm. Where developmental was not thought of. It was a joke. It was, they sent people down there to be forgotten. You got sent to developmental, that was it. Like, you were never going to be seen or heard from again. That's where they locked their talent down, to make sure that no other company, which at that point would be ROH and Impact, could get their hands on them. And they wasted talent. They, you know, they would call people up. They would flounder. They would fail. They would get lost in the shuffle, and then they would eventually get released. And that's what was happening with developmental. Now you look at their developmental product. It is a viable third brand, to the point that they're actually now changing the developmental system again, and they're creating another developmental project in Evolve Wrestling the U.S.
Here's a wild statement. There are 108 talents signed to the PC.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of talent.
That's a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all in various stages of being developed. Like, I don't know how else to put that. Where you have your top tier talent, they're on TV right now. So you have your Adam Coles and your Johnny Garganos and your Tommaso Ciampas and your Keith Lees all up on NXT TV right now, holding it down. Like, they could go to the main roster if they wanted to anytime, but they don't need to. They can stay right where they are, and it's fine. And then you have people that just signed the other day that are just learning how to do this or don't have a lot of experience and need help. And that's what the PC's there for. Like, just the level of investment that WWE has put into their developmental system in terms of money, time, effort, it shows.
They created a performance center this decade.
They did, the likes of which nobody has ever seen. Nobody else has anything like what they have. I know there are equivalents in Japan and all over the world that are equally as good, and I'm not saying that they're not. But for WWE to do that, where they're like, we are going to invest in our developmental system, was really cool to see, because the last time anybody did that, I think, was WCW with the Power Plant.
And they had nothing like this.
They had nothing like it. So just the fact that NXT really went from being a joke reality series that they ran before SmackDown every week, or Raw and SmackDown every week, that it was like, oh, well, we're going to have them do stupid things like barrel races and balancing an apple on their nose, and we're going to have them like be in awkward storylines, you know, stuff like that, to what it is now. And the fact that we have seen so much great talent come from NXT onto the main roster and stay down in NXT is great. And you see the result of it in people like Bray Wyatt. And I have to bring him up at least once a show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But legit, the dude was Husky Harris at the beginning of the decade. And you want to talk about a goddamn glow up? Let's talk about a glow up. He went from almost being fired to Universal Champion in 10 years.
Yeah.
And part of that was because he went through the developmental system. He was a part of creating what NXT is now, and they got him through and they helped him become Bray Wyatt, and here he is.
And we'll have more Bray Wyatt in a little bit. So NXT, for most of the second half of this decade, was a taped show on the WWE Network. The WWE Network didn't even exist at the start of the decade. It came in 2014. That changed the landscape. That went from creating, from you paying $60 for a pay-per-view to, you know, $9.99, as they said for a long, long time.
They set a bar.
They did.
With it. And what's really cool, and I'm going to bring up what I do for a living, is part of what I do is I watch trends in marketing and that kind of thing. And WWE has gotten very good at keeping their thumb on the trends in terms of advertising, in terms of marketing, in terms of product distribution. They got in on the ground floor of OTT.
They did.
They set the bar right there.
Long before a lot of people jumped in it, especially in the wrestling landscape, they were there.
I mean, they saw where the trends were going. They saw that streaming services were coming, and people were going to be big on them, because it's like, here's the thing. I can be at home, and if I miss the pay-per-view, I miss the pay-per-view, and I'm out $60. I can DVR it, and I can watch it later. Or they can create an app, and I can watch it on my phone from wherever I am. Like, that's, it's so simple now, but it's like, back in the day, that was like mind-blowing that you could just take it anywhere. You could watch it anywhere.
10 years ago, you didn't think about watching a pay-per-view on your phone.
You didn't. And I mean, they saw it. They sat there and they looked at the trends and they're like, they're seeing the TV numbers go down. And they're continuing to see the TV numbers go down. Where it's like, people are not watching TV the way that they used to. So it's, how do we keep that audience? And this is how we have to do it. And it's like, they were like, well, if we sell this many subscriptions at this price, we can make the same amount of money or more as what we're making on pay-per-view.
And that took it from whatever the business was, and then they launched into those massive television deals. Like, they went up tenfold in television rights fees, and that's carried them. Like, don't expect them to be paid $2 billion for a program, and that's what they're being paid now. Beginning of the decade, it was like $100 million for like 3 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, in terms of what the product was 10 years ago, it was trash, right? Wrestling was considered trash. It was a joke. It was, oh, you like pro wrestling? You're in a WWE? Ha, you know. To now, it's taken seriously. It's covered on Fox. It's covered on ESPN. It's covered on most internet sites that are not wrestling related, like Bleacher Report's on goddamn Yahoo. It's a part of ESPN.
Yeah, it has an ESPN subsection.
Like, good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how serious it's become. It's still, we all still accept what it is, and it's still trashy at times, and that's fine. But where they've taken the wrestling landscape, where it is now considered a viable sport, is amazing.
It is. So,
it's absolutely amazing.
So there's that. So, like I said, it went from taped on the network, now it's live on the USA Network. 2 hours every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
And it has a cousin.
It does, NXT UK. But then the brand continued to expand, right? And we've covered it all. Total Divas. Total Bellas. Miz and Misses. And even brought back Tough Enough for a little bit. Twice, I think, in this decade. Two different versions.
Yeah, two different versions. One serious, one not serious.
I mean, they were both kind of serious. They just had their own... One was a live aspect television series and the other wasn't.
The second version was better, in my opinion, because it took it more back to what it was, which was actual wrestling training, and you saw them actually going through wrestling training, as opposed to what the middle version was, which was with Stone Cold, which it was more of a reality TV series, and they weren't doing as much training. But the second one gave us Ariane Andrews, aka Cameron out of that.
Alicia Fox versus whoever was our favorite match?
Melina. And then the second one gave us
Mandy Rose.
Sonya Deville. So it's just interesting to see how talent trickles through. But let's talk about Total Divas.
Okay.
Because I do want to talk about that. That was groundbreaking, because that was essentially breaking the fourth wall for them. That was them letting reality cameras in backstage to see kind of behind the curtain a little bit, pardon the pun, and see what really goes on. And what Total Divas did for WWE, specifically for the women's division, helped to revolutionize it, because for the first time in really a very long time for the women, it gave them a spotlight. It gave them a platform. And now you have people watching and caring about the women, because before, the women were the joke. They were the piss break match. Nobody wanted to see the women wrestle. Nobody cared. After Total Divas happened, people started to care. People started to listen. People started to see what they were going through and how difficult it was for them. Like, you know, be at WrestleMania and go all the way up to being dressed and ready and at the curtain, and then the match gets canceled. To, what was the Give Divas a Chance? It was like a 3-minute match or something like that.
Not even a 3-minute match.
Even a 3-minute match, and like, Give Divas a Chance trended for 2 days on Twitter because people were pissed about the match. I mean, Total Divas did more, or I shouldn't say did more, but did as much for the women's revolution as anything else.
You know, and it brought in a new audience, too. It gave the females a reason to get behind the women and learn more about them, who they are, behind just who they portray on television. You got to learn more about the Bellas, Natalya, Paige, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And that helped everything. And Total Divas should get the credit where credit is due. And it's part in the women's revolution that happened in the last 10 years in WWE and where the women were and where they are now. It played a part in that, whether people want to admit it or not, whether people want to give it credit or not, because I know some people are like, oh, Total Divas, it's such a joke. It's such bullshit. Yeah, it is. But when it started, nothing like that had ever been done for WWE before, especially about the women. They were always pushed off to the side in favor of somebody else. So the fact that they got that chance and that spotlight was really, really cool. And that followed with Total Bellas, where we followed the Bella Twins around and went through their struggles and trials and tribulations. And now we have Miz and Mrs., where we follow Miz and Maryse and their family around and we watch the hilarity unfold there. Like the fact that we're seeing more of these series happen and we're seeing the WWE superstars starting to branch out outside of wrestling while still in the context of wrestling is just another avenue for them. I mean, I would love to see, and I know I say this a lot, and people probably laugh at me when I say this, but I honestly want to see WWE take some of their characters outside of wrestling. Like, what could you do with Bray Wyatt if he's in a TV setting? What could you do with Roman Reigns in just a regular dramatic or regular comedy TV setting? Like, what could you do with these characters where you take kind of the WWE Studios and the TV model and merge it? I mean, goddammit, I want my Suplex City series. Damn it, I want it. I need somebody to write it. But it's like, you have the perfect platform in the WWE network. You can put it on the network and people could watch it, or you could put it on Fox, or you could put it on USA.
You can. So that's WWE. Another promotion that we covered at the beginning of the start of our show back in 2012 was Impact Wrestling.
Oh, Impact.
They had a rough decade. So they started as TNA Impact Wrestling at the start of this decade. At the very start of it, January 4th, 2010, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff came in, took creative control, and they went head to head for the Monday Night Wars for 2 months.
I still remember that.
Yeah.
I still remember being in my apartment running back and forth between two TVs to watch Impact and Raw go head to head for the first time. And, like, could Impact do it? Could Impact really overtake Raw? And, of course, unfortunately, they could not, but they had the balls to do it.
They went there. I think
it damaged the company more than it probably should have.
But that's beside. So, they went for a couple months before moving back to Thursdays on Spike. And that's where things got complicated. So, let's break this down. They were on Spike, then they were on Destination America, then Pop TV, then the Pursuit Channel, now Access TV and Twitch.
They've had a bit of a glow down. We've also seen the company change hands. It's no longer owned by the Carters. It's no longer owned by Jeff Jarrett. We've seen Jeff Jarrett get in a little bit of a scandal concerning his behavior. We've seen Dixie Carter almost bankrupt the company. Billy Corgan got involved at some point.
Yes.
I mean, this company's had more drama in their office than they have on TV.
Right. So Hogan and Bischoff were there for like 3 years. Then AJ left, which was a big story.
Mm-hmm. AJ went to Japan.
He went to Japan and Ring of Honor. Jeff Jarrett left because of a personal situation. We'll leave it there.
He had an affair with somebody.
With Karen Angle. Jeff would then go off to start Global Force Wrestling, which never actually got off the ground except for live events and TV taping.
But damn it, they tried.
They tried. And it gets better. Impact would then become, drop the words, letters TNA. They'd become just Impact Wrestling. You had many different people try to step in, including Billy Corgan, as you mentioned. He became president for a few months. Dixie would sell to Anthem Sports and Entertainment, ending her run as owner and president. She's now like has a minor stake in the company, very minor. Jeff would come back to the company and try to merge his global force with Impact.
That didn't go so well.
It turned the series into GFW's Impact Wrestling for like a month. They had a rebrand after that because Jeff had to go deal with his personal demons. And then by the end, Impact stabilized.
I mean, that is the one positive thing that you can say about Impact is a couple years ago, they were facing legit bankruptcy and shutting down because there was no more money. And when Access took them over, or not Access, when...
Anthem.
Anthem, thank you. When Anthem took them over, they were destitute. They were run into the ground. There was no money, no nothing. I mean, it was on its last legs. And it was, are they going to break the company apart? Like, what are they going to do? And Anthem has very slowly put TNA back together and has stabilized TNA.
Impact.
Once again, Impact, TNA, Impact, whatever. It's all the same. It's all relative. And it's in a good position. It's not as high as it was when it started the decade, but let's see where it is in 5 to 10 years. Let's see if Anthem can build them further, build them higher, because I feel like that's what they're trying to do. The problem with Impact in the last 10 years is they expanded way too fast. They tried to compete with the big boys and they couldn't do it because they just didn't have the financial resources available to do that, to compete, to go live, to go head to head to Raw. I mean, just everything that they tried to do, like the goal was there. They wanted to reach that goal. They just unfortunately did not have the financial stability required to get there. Now let's see what Anthem can do with it. And I mean, if they stay where they are for the next 10 years, okay, they're a stable company. I think they're actually finally running in the black. I haven't seen one of their financial statements because it's private now, I think. Mm-hmm. So you don't see their financial statements, but I think they're running
either in the black or close to black. They're not losing money. They're self-sustaining at the moment.
Yeah, they're stable. And if they stay stable for the next 10 years, okay, great. That's awesome for them, considering the fact that they were almost gone. I'll take stable. Stable's good. Stable's fine.
So you mentioned they expanded way too quickly, but by the end of this decade, someone jumped in and went, hey, we can go live. We can do a thing. AEW now exists.
Cody Rhodes broke out on his own. He and the Bucks.
They came
and
in.
And the Elite.
And the Elite, they created a pay-per-view after a bet, and it was called All In, which led to other, you know, Double or Nothing, which led to the creation of AEW, which is now a TV series on TNT. Tony Khan's backing them. They have all this, they have everything that Impact wanted in the beginning of this decade. They now have. They have the live 2-hour time slot on a network everyone knows about.
Here's the thing with AEW. AEW kind of has what Impact never really had, which is, and I don't want to knock the people that were running Impact. I really, really don't, because they have their virtues, but Tony Khan has a proven track record in business, and he's come in and he's helped them run it from a business perspective very, very smartly. Now, they haven't always said the right things, they haven't always done the right things, but they're still growing and they're still learning, and they've done huge things and taken big strides just in the last year with the product that a lot of people didn't think they could do. We're going to talk about them later in the news because there's news about them. But I mean, just to go from being a single pay-per-view to a full-blown TV series on TNT in a year, that's amazing.
They made great steps, great strides.
So here's hoping that Impact can, or not Impact,
AEW.
AEW, get the product right. That AEW continues to grow and expand, because competition is good for wrestling.
It is.
I wish people would be less elitist about it, no pun intended, because we all do it. It's fine. But competition sparks, it sparks change, it sparks creativity, it sparks generally good things. So if people are pushed because they now have to compete, so be it. It's fine.
So that's promotion-wise. One of the big things in the 2010s, I guess, best way to describe it?
The 10s. We can't even call it the aughts. Like, the aughts was fun.
No, this is the tens. The tens.
Is this the teens? I guess this would be the teens.
Would this be the Dillingers?
I think this is the Dillingers. Can we call it the Dillingers?
Maybe we'll call it the Dillingers. Anyway, so in the last 10 years, we saw a lot of returns. And it goes back to where we started with Impact, January 4th. The same night Impact went live head-to-head, Monday Night Raw gave us the appearance for the first time since 1997 on WWE television, Bret the Hitman Hart. He returned, he shook hands with Shawn Michaels, and went on to feud with his rival Vincent Kennedy McMahon, leading all the way to a quote-unquote match at WrestleMania. He even got a U.S. title win to Bret Hart. He was even GM.
He was.
Him in his big baggy jeans.
Yep. I mean, that was, I'm not sure which was bigger, Bret coming back or Bret shaking Shawn's hand.
I think it was Shawn and Bret shaking hands.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, it's like, Bret coming back. That was amazing. That was wonderful. We're all like, Bret! met. And then he shakes Sean's hand and we all start crying because it's like, oh my God, what the heck is going on? But I mean, that was a really, really cool moment because the screw job is such a fabled story at this point. And what happened and what went on to have that moment was just really cool. At least to me.
It was cool. So someone who grew up and watched it all. Yeah, it was cool. Then the following year, we had another return. The one and only most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. The Rock returned to host at WrestleMania in your backyard.
Yep, I got to see The Rock live at WrestleMania 27.
He came back at WrestleMania 27.
Miz defended the WWE title that night.
He retained his title that night.
He won.
We'll never let you forget. He beat John Cena on the main event of WrestleMania.
I saw it live. I can vouch for it.
You can vouch for it.
I think I have pictures somewhere.
Probably. We talked to him about his wardrobe for that night, too, in an episode of The Rock somewhere along the lines. The Rock returned, but he did not just return for that. He returned before that for a tag match with John Cena Survivor Series. He returned the following year to fight CM Punk twice for the WWE title. He won the WWE title. He fought John Cena at WrestleMania 28, you know, second in a lifetime, not just once in a lifetime.
But
everyone was like, oh, is that all over? WrestleMania 29 was the second one. 20 was the first. Miami and then New York.
Mm-hmm.
Then everyone was like, oh, is that all The Rock going to do? He appeared at 6 consecutive WrestleManias.
He came back, man, and he did the thing. He absolutely came back and did the thing. Like, he paid his dues, you know. He had time in his schedule. They asked him to come back. He came back. He made time for them. He's actually done a lot of them because things for them in the last 10 years, not just the WrestleManias. Because I think it makes his mom happy, and he will do anything to make his mom happy. But he's a good son like that. And two, because I think he was ready at that point to give back. Like, when he left in 2002, 2003, he was like, I'm just going to, like, distance myself from this.
His people were like, you got to go. You can no longer be The Rock. You have to be Dwayne Johnson, the serious actor.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, if you look at what the WWE product was in 2002, 2003, it makes sense why they were like that. Because, again, it was trash. So, like, it still kind of is. But, like, so he distanced himself for a very long time until he came back in 2011, where the product had gotten a little bit better. It was still kind of trashy. But it was better, and it was improving, and it was coming down this road of kind of where it is right now. They had already gone to PG, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a much better time for him to return than the TNA.
All that stuff.
Tits and asses everywhere, cursing everywhere WWE that it was when he left. So it was good to see him back. Like, I think that was something that we never expected was The Rock to come back. Because I think he said at one point he wouldn't come back.
He wasn't going to come back. And then the irony of all ironies is this whole thing with The Rock was all brought on by John Cena.
The fact that John Cena had to eat crow after this was so hilarious.
So John Cena, the stalwart of WWE for the majority of the decade, would eventually do everything The Rock has done. He left the company in 2018 to become a movie star who still wants to actively contribute to WWE when he can. But he abruptly ended his run in 2018 as a full-time competitor and is now a part-time movie star. A part-time movie star, part-time wrestler.
I think at this point he's done. Like, he's done. I think he's very quietly said he's retired.
But no, he wants to do WrestleMania.
I'm sure he does, but I think his neck's in really bad shape from what I've heard. He could come back and do WrestleMania, and if he does, that would be great. But essentially, John Cena, like, retired.
Pretty much. He said on Jimmy Kimmel he wants to work WrestleMania, so we'll see if that happens.
We'll see if that happens. I mean, we don't know, but yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing. John Cena, the golden boy of WWE, the man who was on top from, like, 2004 on, is gone.
He's gone.
He's just gone.
It's now the Roman Reigns era.
We saw the rise of Roman Reigns and the Shield and all of that.
We're going to get to them in a second. I want to go travel down there. Because I want to stay on part-time players.
Holla, holla.
Holla, holla. Because that, we went from The Rock to an old John Cena part-time. But the biggest part-time player has made the biggest impact in the WWE since 2012. He is the man who's become a multiple-time world champion, universal champion, whatever you want to call it. He ended a streak. He is the one and only Brock Lesnar. He came back, which no one ever thought was going to happen. No one thought it was going to happen.
But the way he left in 2003 and how bitter that ended, supposedly, I don't think anybody ever expected him, let alone Paul Heyman, to come back. Because Paul Heyman was a whole different set of worms, and the way that all went down and how he left later. Like, everybody thought they were both done, that they were never, ever going to come back. So when Brock showed up in 2012, it was like, oh, holy snap.
He's
back.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that was after he got his ass kicked in UFC, and he was kind of forced to retire from UFC.
Because of diverticulitis.
Because of diverticulitis. But still, it's like, he's back. Holy crap, he's back.
The best part of his return was he showed up by himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, Paul Heyman showed up because he called Paul and went, he went to Vince and went, I need Paul.
I want Paul.
And now Paul's in charge of Monday Night Raw.
I mean, come on.
I mean, if anyone's had a really good decade, it's Paul Heyman.
He's had another glow up. He's another one that just like, he's had a good 10 years, but I mean, the streak was sad. The streak was really, really sad because I think everybody wanted to see The Undertaker retire with it. But at this point, The Undertaker is never going to retire.
Nope.
So, it's probably better that he lost it at this point. I don't know. It just goes to show nobody's perfect, I guess. But it still makes me a little sad that it ended. But that was like, you want to talk about a goddamn historic moment? Holy crap.
The streak,
y'all. It died.
It died in New Orleans.
And you heard all the air go out of that room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my God. Just, oh my God. He actually lost. Wow.
So Brock returned, and it's been successful. Whether you like him or not, it's been very successful. But after 2009, there's one name never thought about returning again. Shane McMahon. He was looking to become the successor, but ended up being Triple H and Stephanie. He was left out doing nothing. He had all the visions of a network and on streaming and all that stuff, but he was just cast away. He left the company. But he returned, surprisingly, on an episode of Monday Night Raw to feud with The Undertaker. What?
I don't know, honestly, what return was more shocking. Brett? The Rock?
Brock? Or Shane?
Or Shane. Like, all of them, because, like, especially Brett, Brock, and Shane, because you think of how they all left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Shane just said, F it, I'm done, and he quit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember Shane quitting because he was in charge of .com at the tail end of his run, the first run, when he actually had power in WWE. They had sort of relegated him to the website, and he was doing the streaming stuff on the website. Like, he figured out that they could stream Sunday Night Heat on the website. And that's where they aired it. And I think they aired Main Event there too.
I don't think it was Main Event. It was Superstars, maybe?
Something. Maybe Superstars?
Velocity, whatever it was.
Whatever it was. But they figured out they could get their TV shows on the website.
He was trying to get ECW. Okay, the reason why ECW was originally going to be brought back, it was supposed to be an internet show. On .com.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, his vision was, like, creating an internet only show, which is why Heat became a thing, but it was originally going to be ECW.
And then ECW kind of went south.
ECW went to Sci-Fi.
And then it went south.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I mean, he deserves all the credit because he actually did have the idea for the network before the network was ever a thing. He, I think, actually did have the original idea for what they're doing with NXT now, which is creating individual territories that they can run and create content with. So Shane McMahon has had a lot of the ideas that they're doing now, and he had them 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about a visionary, it's Shane McMahon, but nobody wanted to listen to him. He had been kind of pushed off to the side in favor of his sister and her husband. And so he decided, I've had enough. I'm going to leave. And I'm going to forge my own path, and I'm going to break out on my own. And that's what he did. And he was not associated with them. He did not talk to them publicly that we ever saw. You know, there was no Shane. Anytime they did the Hall of Fame, there was no Shane. His wife was there, but he was not ever shown. And so when Shane came back, it was like, what?
It's huge.
It was massive. It was just like, oh my God, there's Shane. Oh my God, it's Shane. And we all love Shane. We do. I don't care what you say. We all love Shane McMahon. Don't know why we do, but we all love him.
He's money until people start hating him by the end. But
well, I mean, but we were supposed to hate him by the end. That's the thing. Like that's what Shane and Stephanie are good at is they can make people love them and they can make people hate them.
Yeah.
Although Stephanie's really way better at making people hate her than Shane is. But that's their talent. And, you know, Shane is still with the company. He's still associated with them, but he's off TV at this point. He's getting a nice, well-deserved break. But he did a lot when he came back to carry the company on his shoulders. And he did things like wrestle The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania because he's psychotic.
Because he wanted to dive off the cell.
And it gave us one of the greatest Taker faces ever because Taker watched him fall off the cell and you just see the look on Taker's face and he's like, oh my God, is he okay? Is he fine? Is he all right? Like, I don't think I've ever seen The Undertaker have a moment of panic ever until that night. And he was just like, he's good, right?
He's good.
We're fine, right?
Mm-hmm. So those are some returns. This decade, we also saw a lot of retirements.
Yeah.
Some due to age, some due to injury. First one off the list, Shawn Michaels.
Ironically, he was also a return.
Yeah, we'll get to the, he was
retired
for,
and he came back.
He retired for 8 years. He had a one-off match, which he doesn't think he says coming out of retirement. It's a one-off match. It was in Saudi Arabia. No one knows about it. It just doesn't exist.
It didn't happen. It
didn't happen. He still retired.
I mean,
it did.
Nobody talks about
it. Nobody talks about it. But it's still retirement. He's not Ric Flair, who had 17,000 matches. He's not Mick Foley, who's retired 15 times and has come back. He's not Terry Funk. Shawn stayed to his word.
Because I think for Shawn, if he was going to do it, he was going to do it once. And that was it. And it was, he's made a lot of comments about it. We've talked to him about it. Not to toot our own horn, but to toot our own horn.
Yeah.
And that he was completely at peace with the decision. Like, he was completely fine with it. And you hear a lot of other wrestlers say that about his retirement, where he was good. There was no real fear. There was no real anxiety. It's like, I'm going to wrestle one last time. I'm going to wrestle Taker. It's going to be at WrestleMania. I'm going to go out on my back and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to be a dad and I'm going to do everything that I do and I'm going to chill. Because let's not forget, Shawn came back in 2007, 2008 after
2002. He came back in 2002.
Okay, 2002, where he was forcibly retired due to his back.
He was
and then he came back
and wrestled for 8 years.
Like, think about that, y'all. Think about that.
Had a great run for 8 years, too.
Did an amazing job. So I think Shawn more than earned it. And we got a wonderful match between him and Taker that I will never complain about. I don't think anybody will ever complain about.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that happened, one of the big stories is Daniel Bryan. And he was on top of the world. WrestleMania 30 was his night. And then a month later, he had to give up the title. Or about 2 months later. But a month later, we found out he was hurt. He had to give up the belt a month after that. 9 months after that, he had to retire. And I think he spent, 4 years visiting every single doctor in mankind he could find to get cleared to return. And then he did. Like, we never thought we were going to see Daniel Bryan again.
Just goes to show, sometimes perseverance pays off.
We keep bringing up WrestleMania 27. Edge had to retire right after that.
I saw Edge's last match, and he doesn't know how to bust out car windows. It's really sad.
We lost him. Christian had to retire like a couple years after that because of concussions.
And Christian did not get the farewell that I feel like he deserved. Like, he just sort of like just faded off into the distance. Like, he didn't get the grand retirement that like what Edge did, where he got to come out and give the speech and they do the tributes and everything else. And unfortunately, that was like basically par for the course for Christian. Like, he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of thing, and I feel bad saying that, but that's in terms of when you compare the two, that was really kind of it. But Christian had a great run when he was in TNA. I just really wish that they had translated that into WWE when he came back. But
well, they did on ECW, but that was about it.
But yeah, I mean, it's like we said goodbye to Edge, who had carried SmackDown since 2003.
Yeah.
When everybody left, it was Edge and it was Cena that really sort of picked up the ball for the young guys and ran with it.
Edge, Cena, Rey Mysterio, and Batista. Yeah.
Yeah. They all picked up the ball and they all ran with it. Orton.
Mm-hmm. He was on Orton.
Was another one.
Yeah.
And so he had carried that company on his shoulders. He had been their top good guy and their top bad guy. We got lots of great memories with Edge, and we had to say goodbye to him really rather suddenly. And it's sad because I don't think Edge was ready to go yet, but...
Stuff happens. Just like with Paige. She had neck issues, personal issues she dealt with. She was making a comeback. She got hurt in the ring. She had to be forced to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucked.
Which was sad. That was really sad. Yeah, because she's like 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I understand she's been wrestling since she's 13, but still, to be that young and be told you will never wrestle again for WWE, that's got to be heartbreaking.
The Bella Twins also retired in this decade. Nikki because of an injury. Brie, because she wanted to become a mother. That happened as well. We also said goodbye officially to Batista, who would make a couple comebacks, one with Revolution, and then one on his own. He retired last year.
Mm-hmm.
He became a huge Hollywood star.
Guardians of the Galaxy, man. Guardians of the Galaxy. He is our Drax.
Then we mentioned one other person. We mentioned The Undertaker, who retired, came back, retired, came back. We all thought he retired, but these were all comebacks and... Like, 30, we thought he was done. 32, we thought he was done. 34, we all thought he was done, but he always keeps coming back.
I don't think we could technically count it as a retirement. Because, I mean, if he keeps coming back, like, if he's still willing to come back, then he's not really retired. But I think he's going to be one that we never get the formal retirement. It's just going to be one day he just doesn't show up anymore, which I don't think will necessarily ever be. Because, well, I mean, it will eventually, but, like, I think he will always be willing to do what they need him to do, if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he wants to do the silly stuff that they always do with the Legends, but I think if it makes sense to have him come out and do, like, a speech or threaten somebody, you know, I think he would do it.
He'll do it.
I mean, honestly, I've advocated for this. And I'll never get it, but I still say he would be hilarious as a, or not hilarious, but great as an authority figure.
I mean, you know.
In WWE, I think he would be absolutely fantastic, and you could just have him show up. He doesn't necessarily have to wear his wrestling gear. He can wear all black if he wants to. I mean, his resting face is the menacing face, is like just that hard glare that he's got. So, like, true. I mean, you know, he could just stand there and look at people, and people would be afraid of him, so... But you know what? You know what this decade gave us? Talking about Taker, it gave us the best out of character interview I think I've ever seen of him with Austin. That was the gift that ended 2019 right there.
No, see, you're wrong. You're completely wrong.
I am.
You are. Wanna know why?
Why?
Because it wasn't even an interview. The best out of character moment we got. Hi, I'm Mark Calaway.
Well, yeah, that too. But
still, my favorite clip. Yeah, so there's that.
Where he got punny.
He did.
It was weird, because he was standing there in his biker gear, and he was getting punny. And I was like, what is going on right now?
A little bit of an undertaking.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you were a massive dork, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. So, there's one other retirement which we'll get to, but it has to do with some arrivals and the departures. And Impact lost a lot of people. Big names. They lost Kurt Angle, lost Sting, They lost Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, to name a few. Sting came to WWE at some point after making a deal with 2K, which then led him to having his first and only WrestleMania match with Triple H. He'd fight for the title against Seth Rollins, which is what happened and forced him to retire because he suffered a neck injury at Night Champ.
Which was unfortunate, because I think Sting had a lot left that he wanted to do.
He wanted Undertaker.
He wanted to... Oh, God, he still wants Taker.
He still wants Taker
so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to get it at this point, especially after the Goldberg incident. I don't think that's going to happen.
Speaking of Goldberg, he returned in this decade.
Which was shocking.
Which was big, really shocking, but he did it for his son. He wanted his son to see him wrestle. He came back. He fought Brock Lesnar. Destroyed Brock Lesnar in, what, under 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Became WWE champion.
Beat Kevin Owens, become WWE champion, Universal champion, and then lost the title of Brock at WrestleMania, and then had a match with Undertaker a couple of years after that, which really not
we don't talk
we're
about
not
going to
talk about it at all.
That didn't happen. It wasn't a thing.
But WWE made some big signings that have carried the company. You get the likes of Finn Balor. Hideo Itami was supposed to be the big one, but kind of didn't. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Hold on. Poor Hideo.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's poor Hideo. I mean, Kenta, whatever you want to call him. He just had a really unfortunate run in WWE, and it's just really, really sad the way that that went for him, because I think they wanted him to be a really, really big star. And if he had not gotten injured twice in the span of 2 years with two very serious injuries, I think it could have been a lot different for him.
But those are some of the big names. You got to add Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa to the list of big indie names they brought in. And have like they carried the company for a while, especially down in NXT for a long time. Departure was Cody Rhodes, as we mentioned. He left to start AEW and went to Ring of Honor, New Japan, became part of a club, too sweet, and then went and started AEW. But on the women's side, there was one name that changed the industry for them: Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trish Stratus.
No, Ronda Rousey. Trish came back. Yeah, forget about that. She came back twice. WrestleMania 27, and then for Evolution, and then SummerSlam this year. But Ronda Rousey came in 2018 and sort of, she changed the landscape. She took the Evolution and made it so much more for the women. She put an added spotlight onto them.
Ronda was the household name that division needed, and I know she was super controversial and not everybody liked her, and that's fine, because she has made comments in the past that are not acceptable, but it is what it is at this point. And like it or not, she did her part for the women's evolution to, like you said, put the spotlight on it, to bring a name into that division that everybody knows. And now all of a sudden, there's Ronda Rousey in WWE wrestling their women, and it did a ton for them. It got them the main event of WrestleMania.
It did.
No woman had ever main evented, and when I mean main event, I mean close the goddamn show. No woman had ever done that before in WWE, ever. Ronda Rousey brought that to the table for them. She helped make people like Becky Lynch, and helped turn her into a star.
Charlotte,
Alexa Bliss,
mm-hmm.
just to name a few.
Yeah, Natty got a big rub from Ronda too.
Natty got a huge rub from Ronda because Natty helped Ronda train. And I think Ronda's not done. I would suspect that she probably comes back if she can fit into her schedule. But, you know, Ronda did what she needed to for that division, whether it was asked of her or not. She helped them the best way that she could with her name and her star power. Was she the best wrestler? No, not really. I mean, she had some good matches. We got a really fun match with her and Steph. We got to see her beat up Hunter.
Yeah. That tag match was great.
That was amazing. Come on.
Like
I said, but she did her part, and I can't be mad at her for that.
All right, I think this is a good stopping point. I think we've been talking for a good period of time. That probably everyone's probably thirsty. They need something to drink. They want to go take a thing, you know, to use the bathroom. Let's stop right here. Take a little break. Come back. Get back into it. What do you think?
I completely agree. So everybody, go get you a snack, go get you some water, go run to the bathroom, and come right back, because we're going to get right back into things when we come back. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. You can't see me, my time is now. In case you forgot or fell off, I'm still hot, knock your shell off. My money stacked fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic, I win this. So you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier. And I stay under you fighting, plus I'm storming on you chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails, plus I keep it on lock. Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free. Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Yeah. Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every dance you hit. I find it absolutely wonderful.
WildTalkRadio.com. I hope everybody's ready because we are going to jump right back into our discussion. Let's start with
some of the fun stuff, shall we? I think that's a good place to start. And in this decade, it's all about stables for a while. You had the Nexus, as we talked about a little bit, which led to the Core.
I'm just going to say it because I will continue to say it. The Nexus got screwed. The Core got screwed. Barrett should have beaten Cena, damn it.
He should have. Oh, but speaking of Nexus moments, when they first debuted and they just tore apart the ring.
And Daniel Bryan accidentally strangled somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was coming up, but we'll talk about it now. One of the bigger news stories. Daniel Bryan was fired after Tygate.
And the fans supposedly got him rehired because we were like, that's BS. Bring him back. And the only reason I think that happened was because Tygate happened to begin with because of another very unfortunate incident that had happened a few years before.
Yeah.
That we are not going to talk about on this show.
Nope.
But they were still very sensitive to that kind of thing, and so that's why Dan O'Brien was let go. But yeah, I mean, the whole Nexus thing in general, the way that they did that you had them just absolutely destroy the main roster. And Wade Barrett and the crew, the original crew, took over, and then you had it split where you had CM Punk take over part of the Nexus, and that's where he picked up guys like Mike McGillicuddy and Husky Harris. Nobody knows who those guys are.
No.
But he picked up those people from the NXT reality show that was going, and then you had the Core, which was the original, some of the original Nexus people.
Slater and Gabriel, to be exact, a couple of them.
I think Ryback was part of that too.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it was like Barrett, Slater, Gabriel. Okay, hold on. I have to look this up. We are going to Google.
Live, on
the air, guys.
Live Googling of the Core with 2 hours, I believe.
Yes. God, that was such a shit. Anyway, so the Core was Ezekiel Jackson.
There it was.
Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and Wade Barrett. And they had a really interesting feud where you had CM Punk take over the incarnation of it, and
that was what, Husky, McGillicuddy, Mason Ryan.
Yeah, that was Husky, McGillicuddy, Mason Ryan, CM Punk. I think at one point they forced John Cena to join it.
They were trying to force him
because I think if I remember that storyline,
it was David Otunga and him as tag champs.
Yeah, but the original was that they were all going to get sent down because they all gave the heartfelt speeches,
mm-hmm.
and then something happened where the Core stayed and everybody else went back down to NXT or went back down to developmental or got let go.
Something
like that.
So we had the Nexus, we had the Core, which then led to the Shield, who took over the decade for a long period of time. They were top guys, Roman, Ambrose, Rollins, and then the next name on the list, the Wyatt family. Remember them? Remember them as a family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when they were badass.
We had the Authority. In Impact, we had Aces and Eights, which actually was kind of cool for a while.
Aces and Eights was cool up until they kind of started doing the big reveals of who all was in Aces and Eights. And then it got a little weird, and then it just got stupid. But Aces and Eights for a while was really, really cool.
It made...
Really interesting.
It made Bully Ray.
It made Bully Ray. It got really weird because he was with... Whose wife was he with?
No, it wasn't wife. It was daughter. It was Brooke Hogan.
That's right. That's right. It was Brooke Hogan. That's when it got weird.
Yeah, it got weird by the other point. Anyway, but they had... They was one of their stables. But in WWE, the stables led to... For like months, these awesome 6-man tag matches.
Shield versus Wyatt.
Then you had Shield versus Team Hell No and the partner of the week, the Usos, and yeah, like all these great 6-man tags. Team Hell No was a thing in this decade. They made hugging cool, where they spent 10 minutes teasing it one night. Will they? Won't they? Will they? Won't they? Will they?
Dr. Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Effin' Shelby. Like, just all the Team Hell No stuff was so fantastic. And I love when they let Kane do comedy because he's so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really, really is. He's got wonderful timing. And I think he has such a great sense of humor that he's just really, really naturally good at doing comedy. And he was a nice straight man to Daniel Bryan. Who Daniel Bryan, as we all know, has a wonderful sense of humor as well. And so you could see the two of them just having a lot of fun together and really enjoying themselves. Because, I mean, it's like, what? We got Curly Kane and D-Bryan. What was, I don't remember Daniel Bryan's name, but them doing the rap stuff.
Oh, God, on Saturday Morning Slam or whatever it was.
Yeah. You know, stuff like that. You know, just that it was fun and it wasn't serious. But when they needed to be serious, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we got a feud between Daniel Bryan and Kane when he became corporate Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kane kind of doing all that. I mean, it's just, I love Team Hell No so much.
I know.
They're so good.
We had a 4-year story, three of which were involved in this decade, of Triple H and Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. 3 WrestleMania matches, including one of the best matches of the decade, the end of the era, Hell in a Cell.
Where all of our childhoods died. And we got the iconic shot of Hunter limply hanging between Shawn and Taker.
Mm-hmm. In this decade, we also had the final Undertaker-Kane feud with Paul Bearer.
We lost Paul Bearer.
We did.
In this decade.
We did. And then one of the big talking points of this decade, because it was a really good angle, the Summer of Punk, where he left as WWE as champion.
And then he just left.
We'll get to that part. But that angle in 2012, where he left and did the Comic-Con thing, and then they botched it from there. But him leaving, that build-up with the pipe bomb.
All of that was beautiful.
It was great stuff.
That was, because that was really kind of before social media really took off. And Twitter and Facebook and everything became a thing. And so they were using social, and they were trying to use it to the best of their advantage, but social was not what it is now. It did not have the power and the reach that it has now. So they were using like Tout and Twitter and a couple other things.
Tout
was a thing, man. Tout was a thing to push this angle across. And that was really the first time that they had ever done that, to use the internet. And they still don't do it a lot. But what you saw is the talent start to adopt that, and them starting to use social to talk crap to each other when they're feuding, or to put out videos, or even WWE is now starting to finally use social to their advantage and push angles on social. That started here mm-hmm. for them,
so
more or less.
That started for them using the internet, using the social medias. How about a viral sensation took over in this decade? Yeah.
Gotta give credit where credit's due, even though if I can't stand it at all. Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and their general weirdness took the wrestling industry by storm and did something that nobody ever saw coming, ever expected. It is a flaming dumpster fire.
In a good way.
In a good way. Like, I mean that in a good way. Like, you almost have to watch it drunk. I would actually recommend that if you do drink, if you are of legal age, get drunk and watch the final deletion.
It was the broken...
It's a completely different when you're drunk.
It's the Broken Universe became a thing. It took over Impact Wrestling. It took over the internet because Matt just developed something completely different. He created an entirely different universe. He gave us the Final Deletion, Deletion or Decay, Total Nonstop Deletion, which we talked to him about. Not to tattle our own horn or anything. But
nobody else in the industry was doing what Matt Hardy was doing.
No.
It was completely unique to him, and that's what made it go absolutely viral. Was nobody could touch that gimmick. Nobody could get near it because it was just that out there and that weird in a good way that people just responded to it.
You wanted to see what would happen next. You had Skarsgård, the boat. You had Senior Benjamin.
S in chat for Skarsgård. I think Bray killed it.
So Matt and Jeff, you know, we didn't think of. They've returned to the company in this decade.
Mm-hmm.
So after becoming viral sensations, they've returned as the Hardy Boys because they didn't own the... There was a whole legal thing with the Broken Universe. Matt would then become Woken in WWE, which led to Ultimate Deletion with Bray Wyatt, which then...
Bray got thrown
took
in the
Bray
lake.
Off television for 9 months after their little team. And then Bray came back as the leader of the Firefly Funhouse. And he created The Fiend and became champion.
And became champion. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, you think of all that's come out of the Broken Universe, it makes me a little sad that Vince did not get the Woken stuff. And I feel like for what it was, when it happened in TNA, it needed that magic. Now, WWE did it right when they were going to do the Final Deletion in their company. They brought in JB Jeremy Borash to produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did the original, he understands how it has to be shot, understands how it all has to work. And so it did have some of that original quality to it, but ultimately it was like, it was a little forced. Because it was. I mean, it's like, what made the Final Deletion good was, it was a natural storyline that had progressed, and I believe originally, it was between Matt and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just went to war with each other, and they went to somebody's house in Cameron, North Carolina. I'm not sure if it's one compound or multiple.
Both. It was mainly Matt's, but they also went to Jeff's.
And they just tried to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in that feud where it's like there's so much history there between the two that it makes complete sense that they would be feuding, because there's issues. There's just years and years and years worth of issues between the two outside of wrestling, never mind inside of wrestling. So it just was more natural than what it was in WWE. I hated that whole feud between him and Bray, so don't really remember it that well, but I think I remember it. I wish it was like longer, or they had let it develop more or something. Like, it had just a little bit more heat to it. But that was not a good year for Bray.
No,
it was not a good year, because he was kind of coming off the
divorce thing.
Well, no, I wasn't even gonna say that. I was gonna say he was coming off the Randy feud.
That too. We had the Yes Movement took over Monday Night Raw.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was like absolutely awesome that you had the fans and Daniel Bryan basically throw up the middle finger to the authority and take over Raw.
And then one angle that people love to bring up but don't really want to talk about ever, Claire Lynch. that happened.
Oh my God.
The actress got so scared and she just quit week one.
She's like, I just can't do this anymore. I'm sorry.
I really can't do this. Yeah. So, we mentioned Daniel Bryan being fired after Tygate.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of mentioned, but we need to talk about one of the big stories was CM Punk walking out of WWE. It led to chance for 5 years of CM Punk. But him leaving was a big story for a long point. Because there was a lot of hateful feelings between the two sides. And still is. But he had, like, medical issues that they just weren't following through with, and he was fed up, and he just wanted time off, and they wouldn't give it to him, and it was the big blow up, and then he blew up with Colt Cabana. They're no longer speaking. It just,
which is sad, because they were such good friends.
It was, and it just really, really awkward. But that was a huge story, and now he's kind of back, but not really back. But yeah,
I mean, I would almost say this was kind of a decade of Punk, because Punk left, and then he went to UFC, And he did UFC for a while, and all the cult stuff happened, and that was going on. He got married, and so him and AJ have been living happily ever after. He's been doing comic books. He's been doing all kinds of stuff. Like, he did Talking Dead a couple times. So he's been out there, and he's been around, and then, like, in the biggest shock and return of all, I think, was the fact that he showed up working for Fox on the FS1 show, WWE Backstage. Now, that doesn't mean he's under contract with WWE, but the door, this opens the door. Mm-hmm. Is what this does for him to possibly come back and wrestle. But I think there has to be a lot of work done on both sides before any of that will happen. But I think that was really the biggest, one of the biggest ones was the fact that just Punk came back.
It was.
Because I don't think anybody ever believed that he would.
Mm-hmm. Couple other things. It was the night Jeff Hardy was too intoxicated to compete against Sting, and Sting had to force him down for the 1-2-3.
Oh my god, that was so sad.
Speaking of sad, the Ultimate Warrior returned to WWE and then sadly passed away 3 days after being inducted, 1 day after being on Monday Night Raw.
That was heartbreaking.
It was eerie. Like, his final words on the promo he cut were very eerie in retrospect.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It really, really was. Like, you go back and watch it and you're like, damn.
We talked about it. The creation of the WWE Network was huge in this decade. But one of the things it led to was NXT TakeOver, which was this huge staple for the company, giving you some of the best wrestling we've ever seen. You had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny versus Andrade, Johnny versus whoever, because he's Johnny TakeOver. You had Finn Balor in great matches, Kevin Owens in great matches.
Sasha and Bailey.
But that's
Sasha where, and Charlotte. Bailey and Charlotte.
The four-way with all the four women, the Evolution kicked off in NXT. The Women's Evolution did, with Becky, Charlotte, Bailey and Sasha, and
we had the very first all women's pay per view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, War Games came back with the TakeOver stuff. TakeOver's been a staple for that company. It's delivered some of the best matches that people talk about to this day. But the biggest story, I think, was the tail end for the last 3-4 years of this decade was the rise of the women, how they became from background players to high profile main eventers. It started, as you mentioned, with Sasha and Bayley when they had those two matches. They had the one match in Brooklyn. NXT selling out Brooklyn was a big deal a few years ago.
When they sold out Wembley.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, that was the first one. Bayley and Sasha. They were second to last. They had a hell of a match. Bayley won the title.
Finally.
And then they came back, had the Iron Woman match back in Full Sail. It's like, yeah. It's like, but they were the staple. Then gave us Shayna and Ember and Asuka's title reign for 2+ years, for a year plus. But the women became big stars. They became main eventers, and they've changed the programming. They went from 2-minute matches to now featured characters on the program every single week.
They went from 2-minute matches to main eventing WrestleMania.
It's something.
That's what they went from.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they went to. But I mean, I think it's NXT when it got serious. Okay, we're gonna set the bar right there. We're gonna set the mark right there. When NXT got serious and NXT really became a thing, they strove to make sure that the women had a place and the women were taken seriously, and they presented the women in a completely different way than the main roster ever did. The women were always. Once from that point, and when I mean when NXT got viable, essentially when they really started kind of being on TV, on Hulu, and that kind of thing, and they kind of moved to Full Sail, I feel like is when that all happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got serious about everybody, and the women were treated on the same level as the men, and then women were treated and presented as viable stars and viable performers. They weren't different from the men in that category at all. They could wrestle, they could go, they could do everything the men can do. And they could do it just as well, if not better in some cases. So I think that helped a lot in changing the perception of, you know, these women can wrestle, they're good, I want to see more. Now, it was a detriment to the women on the main roster because they still had that sort of stigma on them. And they weren't given that same opportunity. And so it's like when it came time for, you know, Becky and Sasha and Bailey and, you know, all the others to come up, it hurt the other women a little bit because of how the others had been treated. Where now the women that were on the main roster have been holding it down, have been trying to do things for the last 10 years or whatever, were suddenly looked down upon and were not as good because you had these girls who were already in the fans' minds viable show up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one detriment to it. But ultimately, what it has led to is the women being respected by most. Not going to name names. Going to be good. But being respected and viewed on the same level as their male peers, to the point that they are no longer called divas. They are superstars. And we saw the moniker of the diva die. We saw the diva's title get retired and the women's championship get created again, mm-hmm. or brought back. We saw the creation of women's tag team championships in WWE.
This decade brought us a lot. And we just covered as much as I could remember.
Yeah, this is like probably a fraction of all the history and everything that happened in the last 10 years of wrestling. And this is just the big 3 to 4 companies. This doesn't include anything that some of the smaller companies or the international companies did. And I'm sure we're going to get called out for that, but we're just going off what we watched, y'all, and what we saw.
It's stuff we did, it's stuff we covered, it's stuff we watched, stuff we cared about. And that's what I wanted this whole segment to be about. It's a long segment, but one of the segments to be about is reviewing what we've seen and look at all the bad and all of the stories and all the talk. It's like, oh, WWE's awful, but go listen to what we just talked about. There's a lot of good in this decade. A lot of it. And we only covered a fraction of it in terms of storyline moments, big moments. There's so much good.
There's so much good. There was bad. There was mediocrity. And I mean, I don't think WWE... Okay, let me phrase this. WWE, business-wise, I feel like is closing the decade in the strongest place that they've probably ever been in financially and from a business sense, by everything that we can see. You know, we don't know what's going on day in and day out, but just from the financial statements and the amount of money that they're producing and that kind of thing, they're doing really, really well. You know, storyline-wise, TV-wise, it's not as entertaining as it used to be. It's not as good as it used to be. But I would challenge people maybe to look at it and say, like, well, why isn't it entertaining? Is it the writing, or is it because there's something about this that I'm not enjoying? And sometimes it is the writing. But sometimes there's something about it that you're like, man, I'm just really not feeling this, and this is why. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily on WWE to fix. That's something on you to fix. So maybe in the next decade, we can all be a little bit more, you know, tolerant and give things a chance. Maybe. I don't know.
Hashtag give wrestling a chance.
Give wrestling a chance. But you know what? Did we talk about your favorite memory? Do you want to talk about your favorite memory? You guys should tweet us if you're in the sound of our voice, you know, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward, and tell us your favorite memory from the last decade, if we didn't talk about it or if we did talk about it, because we'd love to hear from you guys, right?
Yes.
All right. So we are going to take a break. So everybody go get you something to drink. Go get a snack. Go use the bathroom. Go do whatever you want to do. I don't want to know. Don't tweet me that. And we will be back with the news, with Tweet of the Week, and we're just going to have a little bit of fun. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. Can you show me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum? Yes!
Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow?
Hey, we were just talking about you.
Kinda.
You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
You're engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. Whoa! You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you happen to have Twitch Prime and you're on Twitch right now, well, you can click the purple button up at the top and see if you have a Twitch Prime sub available. And if you'd like to use it here, well, you're certainly welcome to. But if you don't want to, that's fine too. But we'd really like you to use your Twitch Prime sub here. And Rock, I have a bone to pick with you.
What?
We were supposed to take a long damn break.
Yeah, well, we didn't.
I mean, my God, it feels like we started that last night.
Tweet of the week?
Tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
You know what's sad every time I go to my Twitter and go tell my likes? Is I have something saved that I always mean to send you, but I never do because I only look at my likes when we do Tweet of the Week, and then I forget about it because I close it off and never send it to you.
Well, you know, you're open in your thing right now, Skype.
I'm doing that now. I just saw it. I have to send it. And you.
How long have you been waiting to send this to me?
Apparently since December 28th.
Jesus Christ. What the hell? Hold on. Pause, chat. Pause. What is life? Like, what is wrestling? Just what is this?
It's a pic for chat. It's a picture of Big E trying to breastfeed Kalisto.
And Kalisto bit him.
Yeah. Anyway, Tweet of the Week. What do you got?
All right. I don't know where I left off, so I'm just going to assume where I left off.
last time, because I don't think we did Tweet of the Week last week.
We did.
Then I didn't read this. Fandom. And I'm going to say his name really super wrong, but Taiki Waititi says he and Jon Favreau know the real name of the child. He's not named Baby Yoda. Drop your best guesses for his real name, aka the child from The Mandalorian, if you've seen The Mandalorian. And Taiki? I'm so sorry, I'm butchering his name. Responds with, I think it's Nigel. Cat, fully convinced Dr. Lupo's chat is completely obsessed with ass.
Well, I mean, it's...
Mrs. Dr. Lupo. True, but I'm the only one that gets to grab it. Winky Ooh. Face. Myth, tweets I'll show Charlie when he's old enough. Grab his ass goes on the list.
Keeps adding to that list.
That's He's like, adding to that list.
It's like three tweets in the last 6 weeks.
Mrs. Dr. Lupo, if you don't follow through with this, then I'll be mad. Laserbeam. Announcement. I will now be streaming exclusively on YouTube every week. Definitely didn't sleep through the biggest announcement of my career. Nope, not this guy. And it's a picture of him laying in bed asleep, giving a thumbs up.
He did.
He did. He slept through it.
He did.
Dr. Lupo, why am I not fucking surprised? LMAO, what a legend. Laserbeam. I'm like Ninja. But completely unprofessional. Tim the Tatman. Sorry I'm late. I just made a fire TikTok. Cloaksy, stay offline.
He wants the viewers.
Well, Tim follows that up with tweeting out his title, going live so you don't need to watch Cloaksy anymore.
Like you do.
Like you do. Cloaksy responds, the heck.
The heck?
I love their relationship so much.
It's great.
Like, the little brother, big brother dynamic is so amazing. Ninja. Rock, you need to get the ninja skin.
Who's
is it out?
Yeah, it's out. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Ninja, live before the announcement. Tune in to hear it first. Ewok.
Here? She can't hear. That's the
joke. She's 100% deaf.
That's the joke.
Trevor May. Ewok, you're the best. Avery. Tfue's Fortnite skin will be shirtless Jonesy. Dr. Lupo. Show Charlie the moon this morning, and it's a picture of the moon through a telescope. Cloaksy. That's not the moon. That's a circle. Ninja. Today was a miracle. I finally have a ninja skin in Fortnite. I had people I admire and look up to congratulate me. I got to share this experience with friends. I'll never forget my today, and I am so freaking happy. Cloaksy. Fake.
Cloakat didn't get the anyway.
Cloak's bitter.
He didn't get the skin for free.
Optic Rowl. Your second at is your new stepdad. How do you feel about this? Legion. Dr. Lupo. Damn daddy, tuck me in. Dr. Lupo, you're a good boy. That's all I have.
Marcel, just open a fortune cookie with no fortune inside. Racist. Rain Wilson, at Elon Musk. What about a men's fragrance called Elan? A musky scent. Get it, Elon Musk? It could smell of grit, ingenuity, and genius. With just a hint of insanity and desperation.
I mean.
Kevin Owens. Hello, at WWE. Can someone tell me what the rules to a fistfight are? If I punch through Seth's face, do we win? I called Vince this week to ask him, and he put me on hold for 5 hours and 18 minutes before the call mysteriously dropped. Anyway, let me know. Thanks. Ricochet, I 100% believe this actually happened.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Probably did. Kevin Owens. Me. Dwight is my favorite cat, I think. Sammy. What I like about Dwight is he follows you. Me. Yeah, he follows me everywhere. Sammy. He follows you on Twitter? Me. What? Sammy. Nothing. Bad joke. Me. I'm going to tweet this at exchange. Sammy. No. No. Don't. Sami Zayn tweeted, can a man tell a bad cat joke in the car anymore without the masses hearing about it? What is this world coming to? This tweet's a little outdated because of events, but after a detailed investigation by MLB, Astros managers AJ Hinch and their GM will be suspended for an entire season for cheating. Carlos Beltran's name also came up in the report, but he won't be suspended. It's punishment enough that he has to coach the Mets.
Ooh.
Well, he got fired today. Not Bill Walton. Hey kids, don't cheat. Best case scenario, you win 6 Super Bowls and a World Series. It's not worth it. All time Brianna. At Dr. Lubo. I hate you and I hate Tarkov for making this an actual sentence I have to type. She typed in his chat in his Discord. I will not be interacting with him or his cheeks. Thank you, Dr. Lupo. You love it. Don't lie. Renee Young. I appreciate that WWE Rollins zips his jacket all the way up. No one goes for a full zip these days. Ricochet. I do full zip and top button. Renee Young. Oh yeah. Well, damn. It's a very small exclusive club of full zips. Real Curtis Axel. No one goes barn door open these days. Cowards. Renee Young. Total barn door cowards. No one respects for the barn door. That's all I got.
Okay. All right, guys. We are going to, like, floor it through the back half of the show because we understand that the first part was super goddamn long and we're so sorry about that. But that's what happens when Rock writes a literal dissertation that we have to go through. So, NXT?
Let's do news. Let's start with the news.
All right, news, right.
News.
Try to get out of it. I'm sorry, chat. I tried to get out of
we
it.
We have a lot of news because we won't have time next week. We have to get through it now.
Okay, we're getting through it now. So, one of the biggest stories of the week is that AEW has a brand new TV deal. They have signed a contract with Warner Media.
Turner.
And they have been extended out through 2023. And in addition, they are getting a second show for their product. I don't think it has a title yet. Or is it going to be the AEW Dark?
No one knows what it's going to be. It could be Dark. It could be something else. But it'll be a second series on a Warner Media channel, whether it's on traditional television or their streaming service. That's to be determined. They've been extended through 2023. They now have to pay for their production costs, but they're making some actual money. So there you go.
Yeah, basically they proved themselves. They got their TV deal with TNT. So congratulations to AEW. That's awesome news for them. Speaking of awesome news, Taz has signed a multi-year deal to be an announcer for AEW. So good for him.
It's like they have a second television show or something that they need an announcer for.
You know, honestly, I would not cry if they put Taz on the main TV show.
He would be all right.
I mean, Taz can do anything. He's such a good analyst that I don't think they'll hurt anywhere that they put him. That's all I'm saying. Moving on from AEW, The Miz is getting a brand new TV gig where he's going to host USA's upcoming competition series, Cannonball.
Cannonball!
Joining Miz on the Wipeout-like show, our co-host Rossi Diaz and sideline reporter Simon Gibson. The 10-episode Cannonball will premiere on USA in the summer. It will feature contestants from across America who face off in the biggest, wettest, slipperiest water sports competition ever created. Prepare for all the jokes, you know, to follow. According to the popular cable channel, from sliding off a 100-foot water slide to rocketing off one of the world's fastest drop towers, Cannonball contestants will battle a variety of water obstacles to win a $10,000 cash prize.
Sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
It does.
It does. I don't know if 10K is worth going off the highest.
It's everything. It's water. It's a water ride. It's fine. They'll be fine.
Okay, water hurts when you hit it.
But water slides are fine. It's fine.
Are they?
Yeah.
I mean, when they're that high, when they're 100 feet high, are they really, you know, are they really that much fun, or are they just terrifying at that point?
It's fun. It's fun.
Sure, it's fun.
Water slides as a kid were fun.
Anyway, speaking of fun, Dave Bautista will join the second season of C, which is Apple TV's drama series, so congratulations to him.
Mm-hmm.
Elias has re-signed with WWE, so that's awesome news.
We're going to be walking with him for a long, long time, y'all.
Hey! And we're all okay with that. And speaking of signings, we have a brand new class for the WWE Performance Center. They reported this week, which includes Mercedes Martinez. She was on NXT. We're going to be talking about her in a little bit. We have Emily Anzulis. And she brings a diverse athletic background with her. She's a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and trains in Taekwondo. She competed on the Titan Games, and she was crowned the first female Titan, so congratulations to her. Sydney Bateman, he is an acrobat from St. Louis, Missouri, and was a cast member for Cirque du Soleil's Luzia, where he does a specialized hoop diving thing.
Apparently. I mean, that's in the notes.
It's in the notes. Anthony Francis is a 5-year NFL veteran.
Football.
Former defensive tackle for the Miami Dolphins, Seattle Seahawks, and Washington Redskins. Kenny Marquez is a independent wrestling standout, Jake Atlas, where he brings a unique experience of gymnastics and cheerleading to the WWE PC. He's worked for promotions like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and appeared on an episode of Undercover Boss featuring Steffi McMahon, where he explained to WWE's chief brand officer that his dream is to become the first openly gay WWE champion. And last but certainly not least, Zachariah Smith, who is 7 feet tall and 310 pounds. Dude is huge. He's an Oklahoma native where he played basketball for Morgan State University before going pro internationally. He's also played for the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals. He played against the Globetrotters for the Washington Generals. Yeah.
He's a big dude. Big dude.
He is massively tall.
Oh my God, it's massive.
He's massive, guys. He's super big. So congratulations to him. And congratulations to the women because, well, they're going to be participating in a transformational series, Fight Like a Girl, which is leading individual episodes of the upcoming series are WWE superstars Sasha Banks, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, Alexa Bliss, Sonya Deville, Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, and Natalya. And in each episode, Stephanie McMahon is going to pair with them up with a young woman who is struggling with personal issues and that has been holding her back. And they're going to draw from their own life experiences to help their trainees overcome obstacles and become stronger, tougher, and healthier versions of their former selves inside and out.
Sounds like a very positive show.
It sounds very positive. So I'm hoping, you know, it does really good things. It sounds like it will be heart-wrenching and awesome all at the same time. So congratulations to them. Looking forward to seeing that. Sorry, we are flooring through this.
As best as we can.
As best we can. Like, I would love to talk about some of this stuff in more detail, but we ain't got time.
We ain't got that time. So what's next?
Up next, we have NBC ordering the 11-episode comedy show titled Young Rock, and it is inspired by the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and featuring Johnson himself. The show is described as chronicling his formative years. Johnson will appear in every episode of the single-camera comedy, which will be co-written by former Fresh Off the Boat showrunner Nachata Khan and her longtime collaborator Jeffrey Chang. Both will executive produce alongside Johnson and his Seven Bucks Productions partner Danny Garcia, Hiram Garcia, Brian Gerwitz, good on him, and Jennifer Carreras.
I mean, Brian latched on the Rock Seven Bucks Production Company and he just, yeah.
Go Brian!
Yeah.
Go Brian!
Alright, so quickly, we'll need to take a moment. It was reported yesterday that, speaking of The Rock, that his father, Rocky Johnson, Soul Man Rocky Johnson, sadly passed away at the age of, I believe, 75.
Yeah. Our heartfelt condolences go out to The Rock in this very difficult time, and hopefully the family is doing all right and coming through it. Because I know it was really, really sudden. Like, I don't think anybody was expecting that to happen, but we don't know what, obviously, was going on. But it came out of nowhere kind of yesterday that he had sadly passed away.
Mm-hmm. Which sucks.
So our condolences to the entire Johnson family as they move on from that and get through that. So, Blaine Brents?
Yep.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
We would like to thank our newest intern, the Tommy Dreamer, for this next segment.
Yes. Thank you, Tommy Dreamer. These are all in back. Ace Austin has a injured ear.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Rich Swan has a broken leg.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Ryan Cage has a torn bicep.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Moose has a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And RVD has a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And an honorable mention goes to ODB's outfit, which according to Tommy Dreamer, exploded.
Hashtag blame Brent.
There you go.
Speaking of Rob Van Dam, he's the reason Impact Wrestling was suspended off of Twitch for 24 hours.
I don't know if he's the exact reason.
No, he's the reason. His segment.
Well, his segment, but it's not like he wrote it.
He didn't write it, but he was involved with it, and it, yeah. Anyway.
Basically, the segment is Rob Van Dam has a threesome with two girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his girlfriend and her girlfriend. Yeah, that's...
That was a thing.
That's how
that happened.
That happened.
All right.
Impact Wrestling, Tuesdays on Access.
Dang. We talked all that nice stuff about Impact, and then that happened. It's like, damn it. And then last but certainly not least, you heard us talking about it, and we have to bring this up because this is pretty damn cool. And that is that in the Fortnite item shop available right now, which if you use what code, Rock?
Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop, hashtag Epic Partner.
Is the very first streamer content creator based skin in Fortnite ever, official. It's a part of the Icon series, and there are going to be more skins like it. But making its debut is the Ninja skin, which is wicked awesome that he has one.
Yeah, it comes with four varieties of the skin. One where the bandana grows and expands and glows. It comes with a back bling for 1,500 V-Bucks. The pickaxes, the katanas are 800. And also the ninja-style emote, the pon-pon. Only 300 V-Bucks, so you can, it's all available now. Use credit card box like 499 shop, hashtag ad, hashtag ad partner. It's cool. It's the Icon series. The Greg, I think, is going to get one. And Loser Fruit.
Yeah, Loser Fruit's getting one too, which is pretty cool. Waiting to see if Tim and Dr. Lupo get one. I love how they were talking about how Tim's hair will fall out with fall damage and Dr. Lupo's will get steadily older. And yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
My favorite thing about it, though, was like Tim sitting there watching the announcement, right? And he's like, there's no way you can downplay this.
Nope.
There's just no way. Like, this is too cool that they actually made a skin of him and they're selling it in the game. So, like, that's pretty awesome.
Just really quick, the Icon series is going to be gaming, music, film, and fashion. They're all going to come collide. So you're going to see a lot more personalities get skins in the weeks and months ahead, because we've had Marshmallow before this, Major Lazer got a skin. We've seen stuff from video games like Borderlands and Batman and all the Star Wars stuff. So a lot more is going to come into Fortnite, which is epic.
I just want to say this. Where are my WWE skins? Where are they? Give them to me.
NXT.
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This week we continued the Dusty Classic on NXT television, and it kicked off with, as I was going to try to click a thing and then click open up right away, kicked off with Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne taking on Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster.
This was a really fantastic match.
It was really good.
Loved everything about this. I was sad to see Flash Morgan Webster lose because I like him.
Mm-hmm.
But happy that Pete Dunne won, because Pete Dunne's moving on.
Bro. And then the other Dusty Road Classic tag team match was Kushida and Alex Schelling taking on the Grizzled Young Veterans. Good match. Surprised that Kushida and Alex Schelling actually lost.
That was really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess Alex Schelling was a one and done, or we're going to see him potentially do more? I don't know.
He says he's back for the long haul, so we'll see. Or a little, he'll be back again, so we'll see.
We'll see.
We had a number one contenders match for the Cruiserweight Championship. Leo Rush, Tyler Breeze, and Isaiah Swerve Scott. Good match. Isaiah Swerve Scott got the win. Is now the number one contender.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this.
Or he's not the number one contender. He's one of the contenders for the four-way at World's Collide. So he's the NXT US representative, and there'll be two UK representatives. So there'll be two and two in total when you include the champion.
Okay.
At World's Collide. Which, speaking of Worlds Collide, we learned that it will be Mustache Mountain taking on DIY.
I mean, are they just trying to get everybody pregnant? Is that what they're trying to do? I'm not going to complain about this, but I have this question. Like, is that entirely necessary? I mean, yes, absolutely it is. But again, do not want to get pregnant. Can we just discuss this?
So, the show started off tonight with Keith Lee. Keith Lee talked about becoming how Undisputed Era had a great 2019, but they've reached their limit where he is limitless. Undisputed Era interrupted. They attacked him, and they went after his ankle. They started breaking his ankle. Tommaso Ciampa made the save. So we get shots as the show goes on, as he's in pain and what have you. Tommaso Ciampa comes to the ring. He's talking about everything that's been happening. He talks about Velveteen Dream, Imperium, and Keith Lee. He said it's pretty obvious that Undisputed has a hit list, but he said that's great because he does too, and it's Adam Cole. He needs his life back, and will be taking his life back, you know, Goldie. Undisputed Era came out, they attacked Ciampa, but Johnny made the save.
And for old time's sake, DIY.
Did DIY things.
Did DIY things, is going to get back together.
So
and we're all fine with it.
Mm-hmm. So, Kathy Kelly was outside talking to Johnny Gargano about, you know, coming out to help Ciampa. Ciampa thanked him. Ciampa was about to leave when Gargano asked him about one more for old time's sake, which is setting up the match at Worlds Collide. But then you had Undisputed Era come by. They were being held back by security. Keith Lee appeared and knocked one of them, pounced the security guard through the bushes. And then the fight broke out. So there you go. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Very entertaining stuff. I like how aggressive Keith Lee is getting.
And then we had a battle royale for the shot at the NXT Women's Championship. It included Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, Xia Li, Bianca Belair, Casey Catanzaro returned, Mercedes Martinez, Tegan Knox returned, MJ Jenkins, Vanessa Bourne, Deonna Purrazzo, Kayden Carter, Io Shirai, Shotzi Blackheart, Santana Garrett, and Shayna Baszler.
Brent, close your ears.
This was a hell of a battle royale. Really good.
This is really entertaining. There was some nice surprises in this. I don't think anybody's expecting Shayna to show up, but it makes complete sense because she wants her title back.
She wants her title back. Shayna and Mercedes had a nice exchange towards the end. But it came down to Baszler, Belair, Shirai, and Tegan Knox. Tegan got in her choke slam. So that was good. But at one point, Tegan was going to the top rope, and then Dakota Kai showed up and yanked her former best friend off the top rope and eliminated her. And then threw a knee brace at her. You remember the knee brace she took off of her and beat up on her with at, War Games when, Dakota turned on Tegan? Just saying.
Just saying?
Mm-hmm. It was the final two where Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, they had some good back and forth. But it was Bianca Belair getting the win.
I loved everything about this. And more, this was a wonderful interaction between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't mind seeing a full match between the two if we haven't already seen it, which I think we have, but I would take more. And yeah, I love that Bianca's now the number one contender, Ripley versus Belair. Sign me up.
That will happen at NXT TakeOver Portland.
I don't care where it happens. Just sign me up.
I'm doing the housekeeping. That's when it's going
to
be.
I know. I'm just saying. Now. Give it to me now.
You gotta wait. Gotta wait like 4 weeks. That's about it.
Damn it.
But we got plenty. There's plenty in between. There's plenty of stuff in between. So that's good. But I think we're done.
I think we are done. We are going to free you from this show because it's been a long one. Just want to thank everybody for sitting with us and chilling and going over the decade in review. Next week we are talking about the Royal Rumble.
And we're going
to preview it and do Pick'Em.
And Worlds Collide Pick'Em.
And Worlds Collide Pick'Em. So next week, we are only doing the pay-per-views, just so everybody's aware.
It's like TakeOver, but it's not TakeOver. It's just going to be an awesome show, because based on the matches and the card, oh my God, it's going to be a hell of a show.
It's going to be ridiculous. But all that being said, sorry, go ahead.
It's Rhea and Storm. It's Mustache Mountain DIY. It's Undisputed Era versus Imperium. I mean,
we're all going to be pregnant by the end.
It's going to be a hell of a show. Worlds Collide. But I think we're done.
I think we're done. So you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition is another edition of CB Radio. CBRadio.com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. WrestleTalk Radio is live Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have their Royal Rumble preview. We're also going to do the Royal Rumble Entry Contest. If you would like to be in a part of the Royal Rumble Entry Contest, just say, hey, I want in. Tweet it at WildTalkRadio. Or Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Or Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, as mentioned, for another edition of Rack to preview Royal Rumble, to preview Worlds Collide. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, you name it. If you have Twitch, or if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You know the deal. Just do it. It's free. You can subscribe for free. Support the channel. Use credit code RocketStock into Fortnite. Undershop. #ad/partner. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Go. You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Linsward, LNSWRD. And, do all that. Subscribe. Follow. When I stream. I don't stream a lot, but follow me on the Twitters and the Instagrams for sure. And when you're following people and checking out people, don't forget to just check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Everybody sit tight because we are probably going to be doing some variation of Fortnite with friends. We got to round the crew up and see what happens. But, you know, sit tight, chill out, go get a snack, go get some popcorn. Do what you got to do, and we will be back in a few minutes. But till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.